Morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody? Jared not here. I got to do more work. I need to thank him more. Why don't y'all give it up one more time for Autumn, who came and led worship for us this morning. She did a beautiful job. She did an awesome job. I knew Jared was going to be out, but if I'm being honest, I always try to be transparent with you guys. I thought it was later in the month and not today. So I had to do a little scrambling this week. Shocker, right? But she pulled through, and so she did a great job, and we're, like I said, thankful that she's here with us today. So as we dive into what we're going to talk about today, some of you all, if you've been around me in 2019 at all, you've heard me talk about this. Something I've been really, really passionate about. When we kicked off the year, remember that we did I did a message challenging each of you to pick one word, right? One word that would guide 2019 for you, that would kind of be your focus, that you would just kind of look to, and that you would just really allow God to use that word to work and change in your life. And then with that, one verse. So those two kind of married together would be your guide and direct your year. And for me, and hopefully you all have done that, I mean, it's been powerful. I do this every year. It's really powerful to me. I shared it with you all. My word is connected. My verse is John 15:5, and it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll produce much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Basically, that reminds me that when I have all these other things that are going on, all these stressors, all the life, all the church, all the struggles, all my mess inside my head, you know, it's okay as long as I'm focused on Jesus. As long as I'm connected to the vine, it's good. And then he will then produce the fruit. I mean, that's been a game changer for me. So I hope that you all have done that. But as the pastor of Life Point, I've also thought about, what's our one word for our church? As a church, as a community of believers, as this spot, this imprint here in Butuel, what is our word for 2019? And what is going to be our verse? And how are these things going to marry together to guide Life Point Church? For us to be all that God has called us to be as individuals and as a church. And as I've looked through that and prayed through it, one word that kept coming up was forward. Many of y'all have heard me say that. We're going to move forward. 2019 is the year of moving forward. We've got to move forward. Because you see, 2018 was a great year. But it was also a very challenging year. See, God has led us into doing some incredible things. If you're new here at Life Point Church, what you may not know is about a year and a half ago, two churches merged together to make this beautiful body that we now call Life Point Church. And that is a beautiful, incredible thing. Two churches with the same mission, a mile apart, come together to reach more people. And that's incredible. But also with that comes ups and downs, challenges, struggles, wins, excitement, personal disappointment. It creates a lot of change. And if you're breathing, if you're a human, change is tough. See, that's why I'm sitting down. I tried to stand up. Change is tough, y'all. But it creates change. We don't typically do good with that as people. From my experience, when things change, they become a little more difficult. They become a little uncomfortable. Even if we know maybe it's a good thing or a necessary thing, it's still uncomfortable. And I've seen people respond, just in life in general, to change in different ways. Typically, they'll do one of two. Either they'll get too uncomfortable, it's too tough, and they run away. They leave. They jet. They check out. I'm out of here. This is too much. I don't like it. I'm gone. Or they dig their heels in. And they say, that's cool, I'm not changing. This is the way I've always done it, and that's the way I'm gonna do it. When I was at U Spiritus, just right down the road where I worked for 12 and a half years, we had constant change. I think in like a 6-year period, I had like 4 vice presidents that I reported directly to. And so every single one of them, same mission, but they all had a different process and different way to achieve that mission. And so it created change. And I watched as some people left the company. I watched as some people dug their heels in and said, no, I'm not doing it the way I do it works, and that's how I'm gonna do it. Then they left the company. Or they say, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot. But it's tough. Change isn't easy. Essentially, what tends to happen is we let our fear of the unknown prevent us from moving forward. I'm the king at that. We let the fear of the unknown hold us backwards. But we have to understand that in our personal lives and as a church, man, our past doesn't dictate the future. It doesn't. And that's a hard concept to grasp. Our past doesn't dictate your future. So those bad decisions you made doesn't dictate your future. The terrible, terrible things that happened to you or that you experienced don't dictate your future. It might change the outlook and the way you think, but it doesn't dictate your future. See, we talk about those a lot. But also, your wins, your successes in the past don't dictate your future. You can't just sit there and ride a win that you had and think that that one win is gonna carry you on for the rest of your life winning. No, it's gonna take change. It's gonna take thinking differently. It's gonna think saying, okay, that's great and that's propelled me to here, but how am I gonna get here? And again, this is all aspects of life, but it's also our spiritual life as well. It's also the church. You see, the world is ever changing. Life is ever changing. And if we don't keep up, we're gonna move backwards. I know I'm not the oldest person or the wisest person, but I've been around church. I'm 36 years old, and I've been in church for 36 years. And one thing I've seen is that the church is not good at changing. No. We don't ever change our core beliefs, our doctrine. Rock solid. But how we get about that, to reach this, requires change. We've got to be able to change with it. We have to move forward. And that's why I personally believe, and I feel like God is being speaking this into my life and into my heart as one of the leaders here at LifePoint, is that we have to move forward. We cannot remain stagnant. What happens to water when it's stagnant? It smells. It becomes diseased. Since we're here in Louisville, it gets mosquitoes. Like mosquitoes. Basically, it's rendered useless. It's gross. It's nasty. It's pointless. It stinks. It's stagnant. Same thing in our personal lives, same thing in your career, and the same thing with church. We are stagnant as a church. If we just come here and go through the motions, pat ourselves on the back, and roll out the door, we're gonna start stinking. We're gonna be useless. We have to move forward. I was at a seminar on Friday, and the presenter gave a statistic that rocked me, like to my core. He said that there's 60 million people, 60 million people that are in churches right now, on Sunday, in America. 60 million people. But only about 12 to 14 million of those people show any evidence of a Christ-like faith in their life. Think about that. 60 million people in church, and only 20% of those people from the outside actually reflect the life of Christ. That's disgusting. That's sad. It's heartbreaking. 20%. That's it. It's unacceptable. We cannot be that. LifePoint Church, please, please hear me. We cannot be that. We cannot have only 20% of the people that walk in this door actually live a Christ-like life. We can't do that. That's pointless. And we'll stink. We'll be useless. And you're only fooling yourselves. We have to move forward. We have to move forward in our individual lives, in our personal lives, in our work lives, in our lives as a parent, as a spouse, in our relationship with Christ. Everything has to be moving forward. There has to be momentum. We have to go forward. That's why we read in Psalms, that script, it says that the scripture is a light unto our feet, right? A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That's not so we can go backwards. It's so that we can move forward. Everything is leading us to moving forward. So as I was thinking, and God's given me this word of forward, I'm like, okay, so what's a verse? What verse can I cling to and look at for the church to say, okay, this is exactly why we need to move forward. Here's a reflection of that. And man, I found an incredible verse, I think, that speaks so clearly to where a lot of churches are today in the book of Jeremiah. And before we read it, I want to give you a little bit of context that this is in the Old Testament. And at this point in time, the people of Judah, they were still doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They were following the law of Moses. They were following the Levitical law. They were offering their sacrifices. They were doing all the things on their checklist. They were doing those things. Also, they started to mix in a little bit of other idol worship. They were sacrificing to some other gods as well, so they started to blur this line, but they were still making their sacrifices to God as God instructed. And here's what Jeremiah shared to them. This is what we read in God's Word. Chapter 7, verses 21 through 24. It says this. It says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, what he said, the God of Israel says, take your burnt offerings and other sacrifices and eat them yourselves. Boom. I love that. Like right there, I'm like, those are those moments when I'm reading scripture, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Tell them. Get them, God. I've read in The Message, which is a paraphrase version, it just said, because I don't want them. He says, take your burnt offerings and your other sacrifices and eat them yourselves. When I led your ancestors out of Egypt, it was not burnt offerings and sacrifices I wanted from them. This is what I told them, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Such a relationship there. I will be your God, you will be my people. Do everything as I say, and all will be well. But my people would not listen to me. They kept doing whatever they wanted, check this out, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backwards instead of forwards. We see this in churches all over our country today. And if I'm being honest, I've seen this in my own life and in the life of our church. And but we have to move forward. We have to. We are called to. So what is it that's keeping us as individuals and as a church from going forward? Like what is it? Why do we always find ourselves in this position? Why is it that maybe you're doing all the things that you think that you're supposed to do? Right? You're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're coming to church, you're doing all these things. You're checking off the good Christian list, right? That we all probably know. If you've been in church for any length of time, you know the good Christian checklist. And you're doing it. But you're like, why am I still stagnant? Why am I not overcoming this thing? Why am I not growing? Why am I not moving forward? But we see a ton of answers to that question here in the book of Jeremiah. Right? We see that God's people, though they were going through the motions, they forgot the why. They forgot the real reason that they were doing what they were doing. They're just going through the motions. This is what we're supposed to do, so let's do it. It didn't mean anything. Their motives weren't pure. They were just going through the motions. Also, they started mixing in this weird idol worship with it, making sacrifices to other gods. So they're blurring these lines, and they're kind of just all over the place. And Jeremiah's reminding them that, hey, the way you're doing this and how you're doing it and the why you're doing it, it's pointless. It stinks. It's stagnant. Go ahead and take your sacrifices and eat them yourself. Enjoy. That's about all they're good for. Man, we do the same thing. We do. I don't know how many people that I've encountered, they hang their relationship with God on the good things that they do. Or they hang their relationship with God on a prayer they said when they were 5 years old and they haven't done anything with it since. I see so many people that believe in God, come to church, but they're also mixing in this weird idol worship. Step on your toes a little bit, but hey, we all are serving a bunch of false gods. Sports, social media, games on our phones, habits, addictions, hobbies. Many not inherently wrong. Many you should be doing. We all need some good hobbies. We need to be physically active. We need to do these type of things. But the moment they come above God, it's an idol. We're sacrificing. We're worshiping to those things. If we can't come and fellowship with other believers or come serve on a Sunday morning because of something else we had going on, you know, that night, and we were too tired to get up and do that, I'm not trying to say a bunch of things, but I'm saying some things here. And that's not a, like, get up and come every week, and if you're not here every week, then shame on you because your kid has an event. That's not what I'm saying. You all, but when your whole life centers around this thing and God goes to the side, it's an idol. We do that too. One of the reasons why we're stagnant. I see so many people that put rituals and traditions over their relationship with God. They're not really living for God. They're just going through the motions because that's what we're taught to do. That's what we have to do. It's religion. It's not a relationship. That's why I have a shirt that says religion kills on it. It has a hand grenade on it. It gets a lot of conversation. But some of those things are good. But it should never trump your relationship with God. And this is what we see in Jeremiah. They're doing all the things they were supposed to do, but they started getting a little bit distracted here and they forgot why they were doing it. Therefore, it says they were moving backwards and not forward. Something that I was thinking about, I want to share with you. I mean, it's common sense, and but I don't think we believe this. We may agree with it, but we don't believe it. And it's this: if you're not moving forward, you're in fact moving backwards. If we're not actually moving forward, we're moving the other way. Stagnant, no motion, is actually backwards, because it's no good. That's why in Scripture, again, we see that it says that if you're lukewarm, God's going to spew you out of his mouth. He doesn't want that. He's not here for that. We're to give our whole lives and our whole hearts to him and serve him and love him. You see, because we are here for a purpose. Every single one of you that are here today are here for a reason. It's not by chance. You're here for a reason. If you're listening on the podcast, you are there for a reason. You're here on this earth for a reason. God has given us a mission. We are called to move forward. We are called to be on mission and to live out that mission. And our mission is very simple. We complicate it all the time, but it's actually very simple. Two things that I want to share with you about our mission from Scripture, very clearly. You know them both. I would go out on a limb and say you know them both. The first one is the Great Commission. Right? Ultimately, that's why we're all here. This is the final command that Jesus gives us. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" There is so much jam-packed in that passage right there. One that gets left out a lot, we'll talk about this on another day, some of them doubted. Seriously? You walked with Jesus? You saw all this and you're doubting? That's a whole other message series right there. But he tells them, "I have all authority. Go and make disciples." He didn't say, "Sit and listen." He didn't say, "Continue just to gather up as much knowledge as you can so you can win a Facebook argument." No, he said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's our mission. That's why we're here. If we're not doing that, close the doors. We stink. We're useless. We have a mission. In order to do that, we have to move forward. Second thing that we see is what I'm going to call the Great Command. I don't know that I've ever heard it that, but that's what I'm going to call it for today. You're welcome. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees," love it, put them down, "He silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law," so this is like your theologian, your brainiac, the one who knew it all. This expert in the law, he said to Jesus, he wanted to question him. He said he tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest command of the law?" He's just trying to trip Jesus up, trying to catch him, get you in that aha moment. Gotcha. That dude would have been great with Facebook. But he says, "Teacher, what's the greatest command of the law?" Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Love God. He said, "This is the first and the greatest command. And the second is like it." The second is equal to it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Love God, love people. It's our mission. We have to move forward. That's how we do this. And sure, you can sit here and say, "Yeah, I agree with that. I'm about that." But are you really? Are you really? Are you the 80%? Shows up, does nothing, church attendance on my list, I'm out, deuces. Or are you that 20% that's living it, that's breathing it, that's on mission, that's moving forward? Our motives matter. Our heart matters. Our lives matter. You can't have one without the other. Can't just have belief with no action, but you can't have a bunch of action with no belief. Check this out. If we're all action, those religious acts, church attendance, all those things, if we're all action with no heart, we're not moving forward. We're stale. We're stagnant. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, "So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." by faith. So if we're all action, but we really don't believe it, our motives aren't pure, then we're not moving forward. See, when I was in high school and some in college, man, I believed. Gave my life to Christ. But if I'm being honest, I did a lot of things out of fear. I did a lot of things to try to keep God off my back. Because I thought that if I didn't check this list, and do this and do that, that God was going to get me. Or that God was going to punish me. I didn't do it out of a love for him. I didn't do it because he had radically changed my life. And I was made new in him. And it was only because of him that I could move forward. So I'm going to give him everything. And I'm going to be on mission. I didn't do it because of a genuine love, heartfelt motive. I did it out of fear. So yeah, I did. I believed. I didn't do a lot of action. Some people do a lot of action, but they don't believe. Second thing we see is that if we're all heart, belief, like I'm saying, with no action, then we're not moving forward as well. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. Yeah, I said that, 14 through 26. Hang with me. We're going to read some scripture today. Check this out. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of them says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, man, what good is it? Think about that. Man, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, stale, stagnant, moving backwards, right? It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with my deeds. He says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Pause. Even the demons believe. So if you just believe, have no action, yeah, I believe there's a God. Even the demons do that, big whoop. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless or dead? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Check this out. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was it not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Even Rahab the prostitute equals righteous. Another conversation for another day right there. But the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So you can't be all belief with no action. But equally, you can't be all action with no belief. These things have to work together. They have to be tethered together. So how do we begin to move forward? How do we as individuals, how do we as a church begin to move forward? And again, that was the answer clearly. It takes both heart and action. These things have to be aligned, working together in order to move forward. You can't have one without the other. And I think, unfortunately, we see a lot of people that have one or the other. But these things have to be aligned. They have to work together. And the way we do that is by focusing on the why. Focusing on why we do what we do. Focusing on why we are here today. And it should be to worship our good God and to obey him, to follow his command, to live for him. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Everything that we do must be birthed out of the mission. It has to be. Our own selfish desires and deeds lead us to being stagnant, leads us to going backwards, not forward, just like the people of Judah. We're going backwards, not forwards, when we follow our own selfish desires. We try to do things the way we want them to do. Well, we had this win back here, or we reached this one person for Christ, and I did this back in 98, so that's what I got to do for the rest of my life. I'm not saying that's not a good thing to do, but we've got to look, how do we move forward? Got to move forward. So how are we going to ensure that everything that we do is focused on mission? We got to believe in the mission. We got to know the mission. You got to be willing to give it all for the mission. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to be obedient in fulfilling God's commands. It's that simple. We're going to be obedient in fulfilling God's commands. Well, what were his commands? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, if we can do those things, heart and action, belief and our deeds, love God, love people, we're going to fulfill that great commission. Because we're on mission. And as an individual, you're going to be moving forward. And if all of us as individuals are moving forward, our church is going to be moving forward. Because the church is people. That's what it is. The church is people. So in 2019, we're all going to move forward. We're going to be focused on God's mission. Not my mission, God's mission. Take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Starting here in West Butchel. Starting in your community, at your job, at your school, wherever you're at. That's where it starts. The only way we can do that is by loving him and loving the people that are around us. So what do you need to do to move forward? Specifically, what do you need to do personally, spiritually, to move forward? Maybe for you, it's that you don't believe. You've never given your life to Christ. You've been working through it. I don't say that as a criticism. You've just been working through it. You've been wrestling with it. You're trying to figure it out. But maybe today's the day that you step over that line of faith. Give your life to Christ. Let him transform you from the inside out, and then you begin to move forward. Maybe it's for you, it's that you believe, but man, you haven't been moving. Just kind of hanging out, checking it off your list. There's no real action in your life. Again, you're that 20%. Shows up to church and then leaves. Maybe for you, it's that you need to just get busy. You need to start serving. Whether it be here at Life Point Church or in your community or something, but you got to start taking the gospel everywhere you go, living it out. I don't know what it is for you. I could sit up here and give a list of good things that you should be doing, but then again, if you're doing that with the wrong motives, it doesn't matter. So you need to seek God for what it is that your next step is. Be serving or giving or sharing with your neighbor that you've been thinking about. Maybe I need to go share with them about my faith or just tell them about church or invite them out, or maybe I just need to go do something loving for them. Maybe it's that you know your neighbor doesn't have. They're struggling. Maybe you see their kids walk out the door every day and they don't have a coat on. Or they're walking to and from the bus with no umbrella. Maybe you need to just meet their needs, right? What good is it if you say, go and be well, I love you, come to church, but you don't meet their needs? Love God, love people. 2019, man, we've got to move forward. And I'm confident in each and every person that's in here that we can. Not because of us, but because of God in us. When our hearts and our actions as a church begin to align our beliefs, shoot. God's gonna do incredible, incredible things through this place. It's gonna be awesome. But we have to be committed to obeying God's commands. So that's my challenge for you today. I want you to seek him, whatever it is, whatever that next step is for you to move forward, to worship you. Another opportunity to praise you. Another opportunity to be in your presence. Another opportunity to call you Father. And God, I thank you for your patience with us. I thank you that you love us despite our flaws, our failures, our imperfections, our stubborn desires, times that we're stagnant. God, I thank you that you refresh us, that you love us, and that you welcome us back. You help us get on that right path. And may we as individuals today, God, commit to moving forward. Whatever it may be for each individual, or may we move forward. God, in this LifePoint Church, may we commit to doing anything and everything necessary to reach as many people with your truth as possible. Even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's not the way we've always done it. Even if it's scary. Even if it requires huge faith, may we be willing to do that, to be on mission. Take your truth to the ends of the earth. To love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourself. God, may these not just be words. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith. For you, it's that you need to place your faith and trust in Christ, believing that he died and rose again for you. And if that's where you're at, even if you've been coming to church for a long time, even if maybe you're serving and you're going through the motions and you're doing those things, maybe you realize this morning that you don't truly believe. If that's the case, man, just give it up to him today. Just lay your life before him and say, God, that's it. I'm giving it up to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to guide and direct my path. I want to serve you with everything because you're good. You love me and you made a way for me. However he leads you in that, you just call on his name. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. And he wants that for each and every one of you. So if that's you, you just call on him this morning. But maybe you're on that flip side, right? Maybe you believe and you've given your life to Christ. But for whatever reason and other circumstances, you've not been moving forward with your deeds, with how you live. You kind of have that faith without works where scripture says it's dead. Maybe it's time for you to get busy today. Loving God, loving people, how you're wired. Not how I'm wired, not how the person sitting next to you wired, but with your unique gifts, with your talents, you get out there and you love God and you love people. You take his truth to the ends of the earth. But whatever it is that God is speaking to you this morning, maybe it has nothing to do with anything that I've said, and that's beautiful. But whatever God is speaking to you this morning, you just do business with him. You make it right. You listen. Maybe you just need to worship him. Man, worship him. He's good. He deserves it. But whatever it is, while Autumn plays this song, you do business with him.
To the altar, the
Continue on with our worship, with our tithes and our offerings. The team will come forward here. LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. In the basket passage, you can give or you go online to our website. Top right-hand corner is a safe and secure place. You click that, you can give there. It's very simple. It's very easy. You can even set up reoccurring payments if you'd like. But either way, we just encourage you to be faithful in your giving, giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. And maybe that's part of your action is giving, whether it be tithing and giving biblically here at the church or giving to other people or whatever it may be. But again, this is that opportunity to be able to do that. Like I said, or you can go online for that. Also, if this is your first time out, man, thank you so much for being here at LifePoint Church. You are our honored guest, and we're just so thankful that you're here. When you came in, you should have received a bulletin. In that bulletin is a connection card. If you did not get one, there'll be some at the info table out in the lobby. But if you would, just take a quick second and fill out some information on that. Just whatever you're comfortable filling out, we would appreciate. We just want to get to know you a little bit better and be able to connect with you. So you can hand that off to one of the team on your way out the door. Or if you want, you can come hand that off to me. I'll be standing at one of these tables here back on my left, your right. So you can hand that off to me as well if you'd like. Directly following the service, we are having our community meal. So I would like to invite each and every one of you to stay for that. If you're able to, please do. Whether you brought something or not, I don't care at this point. Just come hang out, grab some food. Or just come and meet somebody new. Begin to connect with each other. We got to do life together, right? That's part of moving forward. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. Do we have any other announcements? Yeah, ladies paint night. I thought that was coming up. March 16th, 11 a.m. Make sure that you come out to that if you're a lady. I think it'll be an awesome time. I'd like to come, but I don't think I'm allowed to. But they're going to meet in the small building out front. Bring $10 to cover supplies. Bring your favorite dish. It'll be a great time. So make sure you're there for that. You can see. Stand up. I'm going to make you feel awkward. There you go. She'll give you all the information you need. Sign up for that. It'll be great. The seniors are invited out to Grace Crossing March 19th, 6 p.m. It's another church out in the South End, or I forget what they call it, but over 50, I believe, can go to that, and pastors. So I'm not there yet. What? I heard someone yell. Prime timers, thank you. So I'm in trouble now. We're moving forward. Just kidding. So go out to that. Grace Crossing is one of our sister churches out in the South End of Louisville. Reed's the pastor out there. He's a great pastor, great people. Daniel's preached out there a few times, and they've had some of their people come out and lead worship for us. So it's a great connection that we have with them. So it's very nice that they've invited us to that each month. So if you're a prime timer, make sure you go out for that. Other than that, that's all I have. So thank you all so much for coming out today. We love you guys. Hopefully we'll see you over here in the chapel directly following the service. And we'll see you then. Have a good one.